Ubehekdish, that I will say, remember again, the Mishnah contrasted this, that where you have all of these limitations in the redemption of Stehuza, none of these limitations apply to the redemption of Hekdish. So says the Gemara, how do I know this distinction? So the Tan Rabbanan, Im Ga'ol Yigal, we'll say, so the Pasuk says, Vim Ga'ol Yigal Esad Ha'makdish. So what does this mean? Melamed, so the double lashon of Ga'ol Yigal teaches me, Shelove V'goa V'goa L'chatzah. Number one, you could redeem things partially. Right? You could redeem things partially. Amar Reb Shimon Matam, Lefi Shematzin L'mocher Steachuza Shiyaf HaKochol. You're supposed to listen to this. Why the distinction between the redemption of Hekdish and redemption of Steachuza? So just very simply put, for example, Steachuza, you either redeem all of it or nothing. Yet by Hekdish, there is such a concept of a partial redemption. So why that distinction? To which the Gemara Smatam, Lefi Shematzin L'mocher Steachuza Shiyaf HaKochol. Because when it comes to someone who sells his steachuza, on one hand he has strong rights. How so? Shemigia yovel v'lo nikala chozeres lebailim. That if he does not redeem it by the time the yovel year comes, it returns back to the owners. Yet hora kocho, ultimately again, his rights are compromised. She'in lo v'gavagol ve'in gol lechatzon. He can't borrow money to redeem, nor can he redeem partially. When it comes to one who is Makdish's field, where his rights are compromised, if he does not redeem it by the Yovel, it becomes the property of the Kohanim. His rights are amplified in that he can partially redeem it as well as borrow to redeem it. So what it sounds like over here, what the Gemara is saying is, that the way that these halachos are structured is you have certain areas in which your rights are strong, certain areas in which your rights are compromised. So every single one of these situations has to have strengths and weaknesses. So the strength by steachuza is that if you don't redeem it, it becomes yours again by yovel. The weakness is you can't borrow to redeem it and you can't redeem it partially. Hekdish, the weakness is if you don't redeem it by the yovel, it becomes property of the kohanim. The strength is you can even redeem it partially or borrow to redeem it. Type of Lamed Aleph. Tani Chada, Lova v'goel v'goel l'chatzon. V'tanya idach, ino goel v'goel, ino lova v'goel v'ino goel l'chatzon. So Rav Moshe Navi Gemara says that in the case of one who is makdish esteachuza, we seem to have contradictory brises. One brisa says that you can borrow money to redeem it and redeem it partially. And one brisa says you cannot do this. So how do we account for this? Lokashya. Harabanan v'harabi Shimon. Two different opinions. Good, says the Mishnah. We'll say now we come into the topic of batei arechoma. Right? Ultimately, again, home selling of homes in walled cities. What's that? Locha mocher bayis b'batei arechoma. If someone sells a home in a walled city, hareze gol miyaz. We'll say, so interesting halacha number one is that there is no waiting period for redemption. So if you sell a home within a walled city, you have the right to redeem it immediately. However, as opposed to, let's say, steachuza, where you have to wait how long? 2 years, right? A home in an erechoma, you sell it, you can redeem it that day. Go miyad, v'goal kol shneimasar chodesh. And ultimately, again, you could redeem it all 12 months. So you have 1 year in order to redeem your home in a walled city. If you do not go ahead and redeem that home, ultimately, what the halacha is, it becomes the permanent property of the purchaser and does not revert back to you during the Yovel year. Just a word about this. The Sefer HaChinuch explains that the reason for this halacha is actually quite fascinating. He says, more often than not, walled cities were border cities. Border cities are absolutely necessary for the security and safety of the residents of Eretz Yisrael. In order for border cities to be a bastion of a front line of security, the residents have to know each other and have to be able to work in concert with one another. If real estate is constantly changing hands in walled cities, Sefer HaChinuch posits, that compromises the security of Eretz Yisrael. That's why the halacha is such that, again, if you sell your home, you have 1 year to redeem it. But if you do not redeem it, does not come back to you in Yovel Yer. It becomes the permanent property of the purchaser. Very interesting halacha for the security of Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara goes on. Now I will say, this is actually quite amazing. Then so now we've just established, if you sell it, you can redeem it immediately, and you have 1 year to redeem it. Harezek come in ribis ve'ino ribis. And the Gemara, the Mishnah just points out, by the way, this, when you buy back your home, it's almost like a form of interest, but it's not interest. Then I will say, why is it a form of interest? This is fascinating. When you buy back your home in a walled city, you refund the entire purchase price. As opposed to other forms of redemption, where you don't return the entire purchase price, but you return the purchase price prorated, right? The person has used the field for X amount of years. There is a special halacha by Yisir Choma, a home in a walled city. If I sell my home to Reuven for $100,000, and what? I redeem it. Ultimately, again, he gives me the money, and I redeem it a month later, I give him back the full $100,000. I redeem it 11 months later, I give him back the full $100,000. I refund the entire purchase price. So we'll say, so watch this. So what does that mean? Reuven gets back his money. What else does he get? He also gets the value of having lived in that home for some amount of time. That sounds a lot like ribis. That sounds a lot like interest, right? Reuven is getting back his principal plus, right? Plus, and remember again, there's a value to that. Living in a home rent-free, living in a house in a walled city rent-free, there's a value to that. So the Mishnah says, sounds a lot like ribis, but it's not ribis. So Rashi here points out, why is it not ribis? Rashi's girsa was, eino ribis gemura. It's not real ribis. The ribis lo mikri ela al yedei hava v'lo al yedei mecher. So Rashi's logic is because ribis, interest, is a concept associated with loans. And this is not a loan, bless you. This is not a loan. This is a sale. So because of that, although it resembles ribis, it's not real ribis. We're going to talk about this in the Gemara. Meis hamocher yigavano. We'll say if the seller dies, his son has the right to redeem the property. Meis halokeach, if the purchaser dies, yigal miyad bino. So then the seller has the ability to redeem the property from the son of the purchaser. Ein monin shana ele mishah shemachar. We only count the year from the time that the house was sold. In other words, we'll say, as opposed to saying, well, it's just in the Gemara, as opposed to saying a year means just a calendrical year, right? Not 12 months. But, you know, if you sell it on June 17th of 2019, so you have a, you know, till the end of 5779, you have until the end of the calendrical year. It's not like that. Rather, you have 12 months. Shene'emar ad malos lo shana. Kishu omer t'mima. When the pasuk says Timimo, a complete year, lahavi es chodesh ha'ibur, that comes to include a leap year. So we'll say, so if you end up going ahead and selling the property in a leap year, you can have up to 13 months in order to go ahead and redeem that property. So we'll say, so in other words, the leap year works in the favor of the seller. It gives him an extra month to be able to go ahead and redeem his property. If 12 months elapse and you did not redeem your property, then what's the halacha? Haisa chaluta lo. Then ultimately, again, the property becomes the absolute property of the purchaser. Echad halokech ve'echad tanitel matana shene'emar litzmisus. And Rabbi said these halachos supply whether you sold the home or whether you gifted the home. The halachos, as the aforementioned halachos, apply via shina emar, litz misos. We'll see what that means in the Gemara. Says the Imam, says look, Rebbe. Our Mishnah clearly does not reflect the view of Rebbe. Why not? The Sanya, Rebbe omer yamim, ein yamim pachos mishnayim. So we'll say, interesting enough, Rebbe holds that the word yamim, right? The pasuk says yamim. Ve'ish ki yimkar beis moshav ir choma, Rebbe says that yamim means like this. When you sell a home in a walled city, you cannot redeem the home for the first 2 days after you sell it. There's a 2-day redemption moratorium. 2 days. 2 days. Suppose I said, the Mishnah said that what? The Mishnah indicated that once you sell your home in a walled city, then what? Halacha lamaisa, so you could redeem it immediately. So clearly the Mishnah does not reflect the view of Rebbe. The Rabbanan, Hayyamim my Avis. So what do the Rabbanan do with the Yamim? Mi baile miyom liyom. Ultimately, and about say they use Yamim to teach me what? Miyom liyom. So Rashi points out over here, Shim Machra be'echad nisan, Ein monin shalom inyan olam dilema kevan shegiya tishrei also oshana. So I say, so the Rabbanan use yom liyom to teach me that it's not a calendrical year that defines my year, but rather, again, it's literally a year to the day. That if I sold the property to Reuven, for example, on the 1st of Nisan, I have until not the end of Tishrei of that year, or I should say until Tishrei of the following year, but rather, again, I have until the 1st of Nisan of the next year, a real year. The Rebbe, miyom liyom minale. So we'll say, where does Rebbe learn this out from? That you have a real 12 months, a real year. Nafkale me'at tom shnas mimkaro. He learns it out from the phrase, until the end of the year of this sale. The Rabbanon, hahumi barile, they use that phrase, shnas mimkaro. Shelo velo shnas minyan olam, that it's 1 year of the sale, and not the calendrical year. The yamim mi ba'ilahu le'me'es le'es. And I will say, ultimately, again, the word yamim, Marish teaches me, this is actually quite fascinating, of me'is le'is. That I will say, literally again, not only do I have until the next year the same day, but I have until the next year the same day, the same time. The same time. So I will say, clearly what you see is, we're looking to expand the redemption window for the seller as much as possible. It's not a calendrical year, it's an actual year. It's not just the year, but it's actually mamish to the hour of the sale. Because otherwise, was it right? A year would mean until the beginning of the calendrical day. So if I sold, let's say if I sold the property to Reuven at 1 p.m. on the 1st of Nisan, if it's just the year, then ultimately, again, comes Seisa Kochavim of the 1st of Nisan. So the year is up. Now, Rabbanan are saying, no, miyom, miyom, or I should say, yomim. Yomim teaches me that what? It's mamish until 1 p.m. on the 1st of Nisan the following year. Di'ime ad tom shnas mim karo, because we'll say just from the phrase, tom shnas mim karo, hava amina miyom yom in me'is le'is lo, I would have thought you have a year up until the same calendrical date in the following year. But lav dafka until the hour, the same exact hour of the sale. Therefore, kasev rachmana yamim, therefore the Torah says yamim, v'rebi me'is le'is minale. Where does Rebbe learn out that not only do you have until the same day next year, but until the same hour next year to redeem your house? Nafkalei mitimima. He learns it out ultimately from the word timima. The Rabbanon hahumi barilei liibura. The Rabbanon used timima to teach me what? That if it's a leap year, the leap year is included in the 1 year window of the seller. The Rebbe hai nami mi barilei liibura. I, but Rebbe also needs this to teach me about the leap year. To which the Gemara says, "Hachanami miyom liyom umeis leis, miyom liyom umeis leis, me'ad tom shnas mem karo nafka." So I'll say, ultimately, Rebbe learns out the concept miyom liyom, namely that you have until the next calendrical year, and me'is leis that you have until the exact hour. He learns both of those concepts from tom shnas mem karo. So both say, so although there are differing, so really the point of contention between Rebbe and the Rabbanon is that according to Rebbe, you cannot redeem the house for the first 2 days after the sale. The Rabbanon reject that concept. The Rambam Paskin is like the Rabbanon, that ultimately when you sell a home in a walled city, you can redeem that home immediately. You can redeem it immediately. So that's the point of contention of Avosei, but aside from that, they agree on everything else. Namely that what? You have an entire year, i.e. until the same exact day, the calendrical date, the next year, not only that, but you have until what? The same exact time, on that same exact date in the following year on which to redeem your home. Good. Harezek min ribis. So as I remember again, so the Mishnah said, this is really quite fascinating, because apparently now, when you repurchase your home in the walled city, you are refunding the entire purchase price, irrespective of how long the purchaser has lived in the home during that year. to which the Gemara says, sounds a lot like ribis, sounds a lot like interest, that ultimately the purchaser is getting back his money plus the value of having lived in the home during that time, now rent-free. Yet the Gemara says it's not ribis. I vatanya harezu ribis kimura, ela shat orehiti raso. Goes, listen to this. The Gemara says, we have another b'risa. The b'risa says, oh, it's ribis. It's ribis. Just the Torah permits it. Torah permits it. Most, in other words, again, the b'risa says, you don't have to be apologetic about God, right? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, this is the way it works. So this is the way it works. This is the way it works. It is ribis. Of course it's ribis, right? You're refunding, ultimately, again, the entire purchase price plus the value of having lived in the home. That is ribis. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, it is permissible ribis. To which the Gemara says, so which one is it? Because the Braisa says it is ribis, yet the Torah permits it. The Mishnah said that what? It's not ribis. Am Rabbi Yochanan lo kasha, ha Rabbi Yehuda ha Rabbanan. Smach lo kes tisanya. Listen to this. Harisha hayonosha bechavei Ramana. Supposed to listen to this. Let's say I lent Reuven $1,000. And what happened? Va'asa lo sadehu mecha. So Reuven gives me a field. And he says like this. If I don't pay you back, such a collateral, if I don't pay you back, the field is yours. So what happens? Bisman shem hamocher ochel peros. Now watch this. Let's say I go ahead and I lend Reuven the money on the first of Tammuz. Here's $1,000. He says, good, here's my field. If I don't pay you back by the first of Tishrei, the field is yours. Okay, no problem there. Where does the problem come up? Who's consuming the produce of the field in the interim? Right, between Tammuz and Tishrei, who's consuming the produce? So says the Mishnah, Ochel Peros, so I'm sorry, Bisman Shamocher, Ochel Peros, if the seller is consuming the produce, Mutter, then ultimately this arrangement is permitted, right? Meaning the seller being the borrower in this case. Reuven, the owner of the field, is consuming the produce, fine. Or however, Lokeach Ochel Peros Aser, but if I, the lender, am consuming the produce between Tammuz and Tishrei, that's problematic. Why? That's called ribis. Why is that called ribis, Rabbi Osai? Because ultimately, again, if I end up getting paid back, then halach alamais, and not only do I get the value of the loan, but what? I also got the produce in the interim, to which the Gemara says, Rabbi Huda says, Af bisman shah halokeach ochel peros muter. So Rabbi Huda says, no, even when the purchaser, right, which means Rabbi Osai, it means in this case, the lender, even if the lender is going ahead and consuming the produce, it is still permitted. We'll see why that is in just a moment. I'm Yehuda. Ma'ase be'baitos shel ben zunin she'asa sadeh u'mecher al pi Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah v'lokeach ochel peros haya. Because there was once an episode, Gemara tells a story, of Baitos ben zunin who borrowed money, gave his field as collateral, and ultimately, again, the lender was consuming the produce based on the instruction of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. To which the Gemara says, "Amlo misham raya." That's your proof. Mocha ocha perosaya v'lolokeach. By the way, you have your information wrong. It was not the lender who was consuming the produce, but rather it was the borrower. So we'll say, what is the point of contention here? My ben Ahu, we'll say this is actually quite fascinating. Sad echad beribis ikav ben Ahu. We'll say, listen to this: a one-sided ribis transaction. Sad echad beribis. Sad echad beribis means like this: the paradigmatic example of a ribis transaction is where the ribis is definite. I lend you $1,000 and you're obligated to pay me back $1,200. That's ribis. That's ribis. Schar hamtanos mos. I gave you money. I lost out on the opportunity to use that money. You're going to pay me back principal plus interest. That sadech ribis means like this: a transaction that may or may not result in ribis. So we'll say an example of that. I lend Reuven $1,000. He gives me a field. Now, how does this transaction work? In the event that he does not pay me back the money, then what? The field is mine. When is the field mine? As of the initial date of the transaction, right? If he does pay me back, then Allah Almighty, I give him back the field. So we'll say, so is this a service transaction? It depends. What does it depend on? If Reuven pays me back and I've been consuming the produce this entire time, then that's ribis, because I get principal plus produce, and the produce is interest. But if Reuven never pays me back, then it turns out that ex post facto, this was my field anyway. In which case, I am consuming my produce. That's called sad echad beribis. It may or may not result in a ribis reality. So we'll say that's the machlokes. Tanakama suffers sad echad beribis aser. Tanakama holds that even what we'll call, it's not really one-sided ribis, it's not really the right word. I don't know the good technical word for it. It's like contingency ribis, right? Contingency interest situation. So the Rabbana holds sad echad beribis is aser. Rabbi Huda suffered sad echad beribis mutter. And Rabbi Huda holds it ultimately against that echad beribis would be mutter. So we'll say, so remember again, This is the machlokes in our Mishnah, ultimately, and the Gemara. So the Gemara said that this case of a home in the walled city, the Braisa said that this is ribis gemura. It's absolute ribis. It was like, now remember again, let's talk this out for just a moment. I sell my home in the walled city to Reuven. Is this a ribis transaction or not? So the answer is, it depends. If I end up redeeming the home, then yeah, that's ribis, because Reuven gets the full purchase price, because his full purchase, plus the amount of time he lived in the home. If I never redeem it, then it's not ribis. This is a case of tzad echad beribis, a possible ribis transaction. The Rabbanan will say that's called ribis. That's the Braisa. The Braisa says this is absolutely a ribis transaction, but the Torah permits it. Versus Rabbi Huda, who holds that halacha lemaisa, like the Mishnah, that this is not real ribis. This is not real ribis gemura, because Rabbi Huda knows that tzad echad beribis is going to be mutter. To which the Gemara says, fine, Rava Amar Beis. Rava Amar Rava says no. The Kuli Amar tzad echad beribis aser. Rava holds, everyone holds, that we'll call this tzad echad, this contingency ribis situation is absolutely aser. The hacha beribis amaras lahachzir ikabin. Rabbi says it's quite fascinating. So what's the case here? The key to Rabbi Moshe is, what about a ribis amanas lahachzir, right? What about if, let's say, again, they agree that in the event that I pay off the debt, Reuven pays off the debt, or in the event that I go ahead and I buy back the home, that the individual will return the quote-unquote ribis. Can you structure a ribis situation where the affected party agrees to pay back the ribis? Mar savar aser, umar savar mutter. So we'll say, it's a fundamental machlokes. One opinion holds that even if the parties agree to pay back the ribis, it is still aser, versus one opinion holds that if the parties agree to pay back the ribis, ultimately the transaction will be mutter. If you look at Rashi for just a moment, Rashi says, it's in divrei hamaschil, dechuli amotzad echad beribis. You look on the first of the wide lines in Rashi on top. So Rashi says, "Halokeach tami peros she'achal beribis amras lahachzir pligi umaslisin tana de brayse b'ha pligi the tana didan sarat filu tzarechad nami lo havi d'ha b'toras mecher asli yadei." Fine, we have to go to Rashi. Good. So that's the machlokes. So meis hamocher yigalos. Well, so interestingly enough, see, here's what we know. What we know is this bias? Is this bate arechoma situation a ribis situation? So it is. It's definitely in the ribis family. Is it real ribis? So that depends on how you view a tzad echad beribis transaction. If you're that tzad echad beribis is ribis gemura, then einachinami this is ribis gemura, but yet the Torah permits it. If you're that tzad echad beribis is mutter, then this situation will really be mutter, even though what? It definitely looks like a ribis situation. Good. Meis hamocher yigal. So the Mishnah said, if the seller died, so his son has the right to redeem the property. So Pshita, that's obvious. Maldetema, what would you have thought? V'ishki yim karbeis Moshe ha'arachmano, v'hai lav machar, so v'hai lav mocher, because most of the person says that the person who sold the property can redeem it. This son is not the one who sold the property. So I'm going to thought, therefore he can't redeem it. Kamash malon v'haisa gu'ulaso b'chol makom. So therefore we're going to both say the pasuk is v'haisa gu'ulaso, the redemption will occur. Therefore, even the son of the seller has the right to redeem it. If ultimately, again, the seller died, he has the ability to redeem it. If the purchaser died, so the seller could redeem it from the purchaser's son. That's obvious as well. What would I have thought? So we'll say the pasuk says you can redeem it from the buyer, from the purchaser. And this person did not purchase it. So you redeem it from whoever is holding the property now. So since the son inherited this from his father, therefore the seller could redeem it from the son of the purchaser. Furthermore, again, we only start the clock for the 1 year from the moment that the property was sold. So here we go. Shana in your dame, shana the rishonim, shana the sheni. Both say, now here's what's interesting. What happens in a situation which you could understand could easily occur, where halacha lemaisa, I sell to Reuven, and Reuven sells to Shimon. There's nothing wrong with that. You could definitely do that. But the shaila is, in that case, where does the 1 year clock start from? Does the 1 year clock start from my sale to Reuven, the first sale, or the second sale? So watch this. Shana in yodem, shana l'bishon, shana l'sheni. I don't know, does the 1 year clock start from cell one or cell two? Kishu omer ad malos lo shana tamima, havi shana l'rishon. Ultimately, again, therefore, from the word shana tamima, I learned that ultimately, again, it's the sale to the first one. Even if the property was subsequently resold a number of times, the 1 year redemption window begins from the first transaction, the first sale. L'mi chalot. Then I will say, what about in this case where the property changed hands multiple times? I sold to Reuven, Reuven sold to Shimon. Let's say I don't exercise my redemption option within the year. So say, what's the shaila? Who becomes the real eternal owner now of that home? Is that Reuven who bought it from me? Or is that Shimon who bought it from Reuven? Rabbi Eli Elazar Omer Le Rishon Chalut. Rabbi Elazar says, in fact, I will say, after the 1 year, it becomes the permanent property of Reuven, the first buyer, the one who bought it from me. Rabbi Yochanan Amar L'Sheni Chalut. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, it becomes the property of the second buyer of Shimon. Bishlam of Rabbi Elazar, the Lididei Kamaninan, so according to Rabbi Elazar, who says ultimately again, so Rabbi Elazar makes sense. Rabbi Elazar says that ultimately again, the 1 year window is counted, right, is based on my sell to Reuven. So because this whole transaction is my sell to Reuven, it's Reuven who ultimately keeps the property, the first buyer after the year. El Rabbi Yochanan, my time, Amar Abba Bar Mamo, Ma Machar Lo Rishon L'Sheni. So Moshe Rabbi Yochanan will say like this: when Reuven sells the property to Shimon, what is he selling to Shimon? Kol Zechus Shetabal Yadav. He's not just selling the home, but he's selling what? He's selling all rights that he has as the purchaser. When Reuven bought that house from me, Moshe, what was he buying? What was he buying? He was buying right now a home, but what else was he buying? He was buying the option that in the event that I don't redeem that home within the year, then what? He becomes the eternal owner. When Reuven sells that to Shimon, not only does he sell Shimon that home, but ultimately, again, he sells Shimon that right as well. Amar Rabbi Amar Bar Mamu, Macher Shnei Bati Arechoma. Well, this is an interesting case. A person sells, I have two homes in a walled city. Two homes in walled cities. And I sell them both. I will say, now watch this. Echad b'chamisha sar ba'adar rishon. Ve'echad ba'adar hasheni. So I'll say, it's an interesting case. I sell two homes. One, and it's a leap year. I sell the first home on the 15th of Adar Rishon. And the second home on the 1st of Adar Sheni. So remember, house number two was sold before house number one. What's the halacha? Zeh shemachar lo ba'adar sheni, k'even shi'igia yom echad ba'adar shal shana haba, ol salo shana. Zeh shemachar lo b'chamisha asar sha'adar rishon, lo ol salo shana ad chamisha asar ba'adar shal shana haba. So we'll say, so an interesting technicality over here. So we'll say, so this is the reverse. I'm selling it now in a leap year. So technically speaking, the one that I sold on the 15th, the one that I sold on the 1st of Adar Sheni, when is its 1 year redemption window closed? When is that up? The 1st of Adar of the next year. Now, I will say, now technically speaking, because why? There's only one Adar. So technically speaking, I lose a month. I lose a month. Masha'inkin, interestingly enough, the property that I sold on the 15th of Adar Rishon in the previous year, when does that year end? 15th. So it turns out that what? The property that was sold earlier, the 1 year ends later. The property that was sold later, the 1 year ends earlier. It's just a calendrical technicality. So the Gemara says, Maskif la Ravina. So Ravina says, but 1 second, Zelo fair. Vele male, Anna kadim shachan nura mekame didach. See, but I started my fire before yours. Now, Zubo say, technically speaking, the guy who sold, right, the property that sold on the 15th of Adar Rishon was sold earlier than the one that was sold on the 1st of Adar Sheni. Yet the 1 year window for the one that was sold in Adar Sheni closes before the one that was sold in Adar Rishon. Mishum da Amarle, at Naches Libura. So ultimately, so we could say to the second guy, listen, you waited for the Iber Yar, right? You waited for the Leap month. So that's what happens. And I was about to say, remember again, the Mishnah was speaking about the benefit of the Leap month in terms of giving an extra 13th month for the seller to redeem his property. But yet, again, it works in the reverse if you end up selling from a leap year to a regular year. Good. We'll say a similar case, same concept, just in a different context. No dulo shnei teloyim. We'll say if a person has two sheep, now this is talking about the bechor behema over here, right? The halacha is that you're supposed to offer up the bechor animal within the first year. So let's say, again, I have two sheep that were born. Second wide line, lamin aleph on the base. Echad b'chamisha sasha adar rishon. One was born on the 15th of Adar Rishon. Ve'echad ba'adar sheni. And one was born on the 1st of Adar Sheni. Ze shenola lo ba'adar sheni kevin shegi yom echad ba'adar shalashon haba. Also lo shana. So again, same thing. The one who ultimately, again, was born on the 1st of Adar Sheni, when the 1st of Adar Rishon of the subsequent year comes along, it is now officially a year old and needs to be offered up within that window. And I will say the one that was born on the 15th of Adar Rishon, technically speaking, its 1 year window doesn't close until the 15th of Adar. So again, I will say essentially the same thing. The animal that was born earlier seemingly has, not seemingly, has a longer 1 year window than the one that was born later. But let the older sheep say to the younger one, I was eating greens before you were. So apparently this is a sheep shtach, right? So again, I was, right? I'm older than you. What's going on over here? So Mishnah Amalei, at nachisa liibura, ana lo nachisa liibura. You waited for the leap year to be born. I didn't wait for the leap year to be born. So I was going to say, just pointing out this calendrical reality, where technically speaking, you could have a sheep that ultimately, again, is born earlier, or property that was sold earlier, but yet the window ultimately extends later. So Hasulam, so again, I got it, meaning I understand this. You illustrated this concept with the case of the Bayis Bir Choma. What? You have to further illustrate it with the case of Bechar Behema. Hasulam li Hanuach, it's the same exact case. Maudetemer, so what would you have said? Hassam, in the case of Bate Arechoma Dixiv Tamima, the Pasuk says Tamima. Hacha Tala Hacha, the Lok Siv Tamima Lo. But in the case of, I'll say ultimately again of the sheep where it doesn't say the word Tamima, I would have thought maybe this halacha doesn't apply. Kamashwan the Shana Mehada Digmiri. Different ones say the Pasuk teaches us since they both say Shana, we learn them both out from one another. I learn out the halachos ultimately again of the case of the sheep from the case of the Bayis Bir Choma. Good. Says the Gemara, Kishu Omer Tamima, Rabbi Omer Litin Shnasi Bura, Tan Rabbanon, Shana Tamima, when the Pasuk says it's a complete year, Rabbi Omer, Mona Shlosh Meos, Vishishim Vechamish Yamim, Lekiminyan Yemos Sachamo. So we'll listen to this. So Rabbi understands as follows. We'll say we have a lunar calendar. The lunar calendar has 354 days, as opposed to a solar calendar, which has 365 days. Rebbe says, Shana Tamima teaches me that you have a solar calendar year. You have 365 days from in which to redeem your property. The Chachamim say, Mona Shnei Masar Chodesh Miyom Miyom. Chachamim say, we count 12 months, literally from one day to this next same exact day in the next year. Vim Sabra. And therefore, ultimately, again, if there's an Iber Yar, right? If there is a leap year, this Abrolo, the extra month, ultimately, again, is counted as part of the year for the seller. We'll say if ultimately, again, the year elapses and the same calendar day of the next year comes along, and the seller has not yet redeemed his property, so it becomes the property of the eternal property of the purchaser. Tana, because the pasuk says litzmisos. Tana rabbanon litzmisos lechalutin. We'll say the word litzmisos. That's what it says. It becomes vakam. What's the lashon of the pasuk? The lashon of the pasuk is that if you don't redeem it in the year, so what's the halacha? So litzmisos lakona osa darosav layetzav yovel. It becomes the property of the purchaser litzmisos. What does litzmisos mean? Lechalutin. Literally, the way we translate litzmisos is in perpetuity. In perpetuity, forever. Chalut. The sale is definite. Does not revert back at yovel. Davar achar. The other possibility is litzmisos lerabos es hamatana. Ultimately, again, litzmisos means what? To include a matana. To include a gift. To include a gift. So my taima. So what's this? What does this mean? Litzmisos means that whether you sold the property or you gifted the property, if you don't redeem it within the year, it becomes the absolute property of the purchaser. So the Gemara says, "My taima, samis tzmisos." I'll say, where do you see gift in there? So the Torah could have written a shorter form of tzamis. The fact that it writes a prolonged form of tzmisos indicates that it's coming to teach you something additional. What is it coming to teach me? That a matana is included as well. Amru Rabbanan kamei de Rav Papa. Ultimately, again, the rabbis said this over in front of Rav Papa. Kimand lo k'Rav Meir. This is not the reflective view of Rav Meir. How so? Dika Rav Meir ha'amar matana ina kimecha. The Moshe Rav Meir is of the opinion that a gift is not like a sale. And therefore, again, Rav Meir would say that when it comes to a gift, that is not governed by the same halachos of a sale. Amar Rav Papa, I feel tame Rav Meir. Even Rav Meir would agree in the case of Batei Arichoma. Why? Shani Hacha, the Rabbi Rachmana Litzmisus. It's different over here in the case of Batei Arichoma because you have the X short of Litzmisus. It could have just said Samis. Instead, it says Litzmisus. Even Rabbi Meir would agree that that includes a gift. Amru Rabbanan Rav Papa. Va'amru va'amar lei Rafun Rid Rav Yeshua Rav Papa. I v'ha gami yovel d'chsev tashuvu l'rabo says hamatana. So we'll say, by yovel it says tashuvu, which means that even a matana returns back to its original owner. And yet, Rabbi Meir lo kam arbi. And Rabbi Meir, even though there's an additional word over there, Rabbi Meir does not agree that a matana is included in the halachos of Yovel. So rather, what do you see? Elaha v'adai bel kramer. Rather, Rabbi Meir, our Mishnah that said that the halachos of Batei Arichoma, specifically the one-year redemption window, applies even to gifts, clearly does not reflect the view of Rabbi Meir. Good. Tana Rabbanan, let's at least begin this. Hamakdish Bais Babate Arichoma, Hare Zegoel, the Goel Yolam. Both said, listen to this. Switching gears for just a moment over here. Up until now, we were focusing on the sale of a home in a walled city. And again, we've established halachas. You could redeem it immediately. You have a 1 year redemption window. That 1 year goes to the same exact day of the calendar year of the following year. What happens if you consecrate a home in a walled city? I'm not selling it. I'm being makdish to the Beis HaMikdash. So what's the halacha? Harei ze goel. You have the ability to redeem it. The goel liolam. And Abbo said there is no 1 year statute of limitations on that, but rather ultimately, again, you have the ability to redeem it forever. Goel lo acher miyad hekdish. If someone else, other than me, the owner, redeemed it from hekdish, then in that case, he yegia yom shneim asar chodesh velo nigal. If the 12-month period elapsed and the original owner did not redeem it from the person who purchased it, hayachalut lo, it becomes the eternal property ultimately of the one who redeemed it from it. So we'll stop over here for today. We'll pick up Emirat Hashem with this hektish discussion about Batei Arichoma, Emirat Hashem tomorrow.